Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah, just to continue from our last session, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah with the name Al-Ghaniyyu. Al-Ghaniyyu is a very important attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to understand. Imagine if somebody was to question you, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Ghaniyyu? What is the reason? Why is He Al-Ghani? Maybe or possibly an answer that can be given by someone, he might say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything and everything is at His disposal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything and everything is at His disposal. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani. But in reality, the meaning of Al-Ghani is quite different. Al-Ghani actually means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything. Allah is Al-Ghani because He is not in need of anything. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything. There is nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghaniyyu because He needs nothing. He needs nothing. He is completely free from any kind of need and want. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani. A human being who is Ghani, the more rich you are, the more you are muhtaj of people. The more you are muhtaj. Because if you are rich, you are used to that easy life, comfortable life. You simply give an order, I want you to do that, this person must do this, this person must do that. And so he needs a surrounding of a million people around him. If these people were to go away from his life, then he would be completely disabled. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that ghani who needs nothing. That is the meaning of Al-Ghaniyyu. And it is very beautifully explained in one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We the people of Iman, how we should live in this dunya. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this hadith is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and also in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That ghina does not mean that you have a lot of wealth, you have a lot of money. Ghina does not mean that you have a lot of wealth or that you have a lot of money. That's not ghina. In the Islamic terminology, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ghina actually means that you are content with whatever Allah has given you. That is ghina. How beautiful is that? That whatever Allah has given you, how Allah has kept you, you are happy. You will not break and destroy your shell because of that mansion that is in front of you. No. You are happy with whatever Allah has decreed for you. That is the meaning of ghina. If anybody who can understand this, then his life will be a life of peace and sukoon. A life of peace and sukoon. Ibrahim ibn Adham, once upon a time, a great king. But he left everything. And so someone came to him and said to him, Ibrahim, I want to give you some hadiya, a gift. And that hadiya in the form of money, dirham. So Ibrahim ibn Adham said to him, I will only accept your hadiya if you are ghani and not faqir. If you are ghani and not faqir. He said, if you are faqir, then it is not jais for me to take any hadiah from you, money. You are in need. But if you are ghani, then it's fine, I'll take the hadiah, the gift you want to give me. So Ibrahim bin Adham asked him that, what is it that you are going to give me? So he said, I have 2,000 dirhams to give you. 2,000 dirhams is a lot of money to give you. So Ibrahim bin Adham said, Khair, tell me one thing, would you be happy, or do you have the desire to have 5,000 dirhams, or 10,000 dirhams, or 15,000 dirhams, or 20,000 dirhams? So this man said, yes, I have the desire. I wouldn't mind 15,000, 20,000, 25,000, 50,000 dirhams coming to me. I have a desire. Ibrahim bin Adham said to him, then you are faqir, I can't take this money from you. Then you are faqir, I can't take this money from you. So he says, how am I faqir? He said, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a Muslim man is that person, the ghani is that person, who is content with whatever Allah Pak has given him. But after scanning you, looking at you, it seems that you are not content with whatever Allah has given you. You are still looking for so many things. And so you are not content with what Allah has given you. So you are faqir. And you are not ghani. And therefore I can't take anything from you. But now, of course, Ibrahim bin Adham was at a very different level. He was at a very different level. And there's every possibility that who he saw, the person who was in front, maybe it was important to do his islah, to cleanse him and purify him in this manner. So each individual, of course, is very, very different. It's very different. It does not mean, of course, that as Muslims, alhamdulillah, you know, if we have the desire lawfully and in a halal way to increase our assets or the money that Allah has given us, there is nothing wrong with that, of course. But what I'm saying genuinely, even that person who Allah has given him a lot of wealth, the condition of his heart should be that he is happy and content with whatever Allah Pak has given him. If this is inside him, then if Allah opens the doors for him, there's no problem. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, everybody knows him. The great Maliki scholar. The great Maliki scholar. The Imam of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. Great person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth. And he was sitting in his majlis and somebody came to him and said, Hazrat, the shipment that you were to receive, that has, the boats have capsized and drowned. and you have taken a lot of loss. So he just looked at that person and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nothing. And he continued talking. And then after a bit, somebody else came to him. He says, No, Hazrat, wrong information. Everything that belongs to you that is safe, Alhamdulillah, it was the other shipment that has taken khasara and nuksan, not our section. So he looked down and he says, Alhamdulillah. What an attitude. What an attitude. And so this was the level of iman, that anything that happens can only happen by the will of Allah. There's no sleepless nights. It's not that it becomes very, very difficult. You get some people who'll fall into depression. They'll fall into depression. It happens. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, look, I am al-ghani. If you want to be ghani, stay connected to me. Stay connected to me. And so the attitude should be that whatever Allah Pak has given us in this dunya, we are content. Now you have a mobile phone. It's working. Alhamdulillah. Now just because next year a new phone will come out, does it mean that you have to buy a new phone? No. Use it. Use it as much as you can. Why do you want to spend your money and do fuzul kharchi into something else? Keep it. You rather give that money to somebody otherwise. But it shouldn't be that Allah has given you something and then you go around blowing it. There are certain people who can manage a family and the cost of the family and their expenses by £1,500 in a month. An average family of 5 kids, 4 kids, with everything there, with even the rent to pay, maybe from 1,000 to 1,500, whatever. But then there are certain people that their expenses, even at £3,000, £4,000, is not enough. How is that? Why is it that even at £2,000, £3,000, the expenses are not there? And the reason for that is ghina nafs, that a person should be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. It doesn't mean that there is a wedding there and you bought this dress, one dress, and so for the next wedding you still have to go out and you have to spend so much money. It doesn't mean that. Alhamdulillah, you do it for yourself as long as, you know, it's your need and you look good. That is kafi. That is kafi. Ibrahim ibn Adham, I've said this. There was another great buzrug whose name is Behlol. Whose name is Behlol. He was a great buzrug. And a lot of the time he would spend in the Qabristan cemetery. So he was in the Qabristan and somebody was passing by. So Behlol had his legs stretched, sitting between the graves. And he had some soil in the hands, making sure that perhaps he was putting the soil properly towards one side of the grave. And so somebody came and said, Behlol, what are you doing here? So he said, these are my friends. These are my friends. And he said a few names. This is that person, this is that person. This person came yesterday. He's my new friend. This person is my very old friend. This person also is my friend. So he says, why do you sit here all the time? He said, I get sukoon, I get peace here. We are scared of Qabristan. We are scared of, in the night also, if you're going to drive, you say to your children, let's go past Saffron Lane, Qabristan. They say, no, Papa, just take it the other way. Take it the other way. But that's the Qabristan. Even to walk in the park in the night can be difficult. Because a human being, naturally, he does not like anything that is dark. So he said, these are my good friends. When I sit in their company, they never harm me. They never harm me. And when I depart from their company, they never backbite. They never do my ghibat. I like them. When I'm with them, they are the most mukhlis people, sincere people. So I have a habit, I stay here most of the time, very mukhlis, all of them. They never harm me. And they never do my ghibat. And he was majzub. And so Khair, because they knew of Bahlol, they said to him, Hazrat, things have become very, very expensive. Things have become very, very expensive. Can you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our livelihood a bit easy and things become cheap? So Bahlol said to him, things have become expensive? What has become expensive? So then he said, let me tell you, even if a slice of bread was to be for 1 dinar in the market, I will not make dua for you. I will not make dua for you. Why? My duty as a slave of Allah is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be obedient to Him. And Allah, who is our master, it is upon Him to look after us and to open the doors of sustenance. So forget this making dua that this is expensive, this is expensive. There is something wrong with you. If you worship Him, He will look after you. If you take His servitude and you understand that He is my Rabb and I am His slave and He is my master, the master's duty is to look after those that are under him, the slaves. And it is the infinite mercy of Allah that He looks after everybody. So no matter what the price, there is something wrong with us that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we call ghina. And this will save a person from jealousy. This muhlik bimari, this cancerous disease, it will save you if you understand the meaning of ghina. If you understand the meaning of ghina. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, be happy with what Allah Pak has given you. And be happy with whatever Allah has given to your Muslim brother. Be happy with whatever Allah has given to your own brother. Whatever is in your share, be happy. If you see somebody else, alhamdulillah, be happy for them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghina, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. When a person has this attitude, there is always sukoon in his life. This is an amazing incident of two very, very senior sahaba, the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amazing incident, this kalam, there's a communication between two giants amongst the galaxy of Sahaba. One is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is the greatest alim of his time among Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, the Mufassir of the Quran. People would say that he was taken to be an Ahl-e Bayt. He would frequent the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that if you didn't know him, you might take him to be one family member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his acquaintance with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then another sahabi is Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. Of course, everybody knows him, alhamdulillah. The only man who is married to two daughters of a Nabi and the greatest Nabi. Two daughters of a Nabi and the greatest Nabi. No man has been given this honor and privilege. No man. Allahu Akbar. And so he found out that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is very, very ill. And he is close to his sakarat and breathing his last. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an came and everybody moved out. And they gave space to Hazrat Uthman to sit very close to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an's eyes were closed. And so he came and he made salam. And he looked at the face of this great sahabi and said to him, Ma tashtaki. Ma tashtaki. And he says, "Oh Abdullah, what pains you? What pains you? What gives you taklif? What grieves you?" Ishtaka yashtaki, in the Arabic language, in Urdu we say shikayat. Tumhari kya shikayat? What is it? Tumhari? Shikayat. But it's different in Arabic. Ma tashtaki, what pains you? What grieves you? Such a lofty sahabi. He opens his eyes and he was happy to see Hazrat Uthman. And he could barely speak. And he said, "Dhunubi." Allahu Akbar. My sins. What did he say? My sins. This was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying, "Uthman, it's not the physical pain. I'm not scared of sakarat. I'm not scared of death. My fear and pain is, how will my Allah deal with me? How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with me? Dhunubi, I'm scared of my sins." And this is a sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he said that, then Hazrat Uthman slightly diverted the topic. And he said, "Fama tashtahi, fama tashtahi." What is your desire? How can I help you? What is your, what is it that you want? Apki kya khaish hai? Fama tashtahi. What is it? What is your desire? And even then he said, "Rahmatu Rabbi." My desire is the rahmat from my Rabb. The rahmat, the mercy from my Rabb. And then Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an said to him, "Teek." He said, "Shall I do you a favor? Let me call the best doctor and the best physician to come and treat you. You are in this condition. Let me call somebody and the best doctor can come to treat you." So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud said, no. The best doctor wants to see me in this condition. The best doctor wants to see me in this condition. What he was saying, that the real tabib is who? Allah. Allah is the real tabib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now telling me, "Abdullah, it is time for you to come to me." So what is this tabib going to do? What is this physician going to do? Doctor going to do? Bas, nothing. Sometimes when you know that this person is breathing his last, then you inject him and take him for an operation. This is giving taklif to this person. He should now accept the fact that he is old and now very weak, and alhamdulillah, it's time for him to meet his Lord. It's fine. Khair. And then he said, "Teek, I am here. Then my desire is to give you gift. My desire is to give you some gift. And I want to give you some money." And Sahaba, they were not like us. Sahaba were not like us. You know, when we give, we get scared. Sahaba, when they gave in thousands and millions. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, every time Hazrat Hassan would come to see him, in his first majlis, when Hazrat Hassan would come, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah would put 10,000 dirhams in front of him and kiss Hazrat Hassan and say, "This is for you." 10,000. And he made sure that the Ahle Bayt did not need to work all their life. Nothing. Hazrat Hassan, Hussein, nobody. The children of Hazrat Ali, all taken care of. So these were great people, people of honor. So he said that, "I want to give you money." And he came with bags filled with dinar and dirham. So he says, "I am going, Ya Uthman, you know, and I don't need this money." So Hazrat Uthman whispered in the ears and said, no, not for you. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud had a lot of daughters. He had plenty of daughters. So he said, "Not for you, but for your children. Not for you, but for your children. I am giving it to you. Keep it. It will help your daughters. It will help your children." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala, and now holding the hands of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala, and he says, come to me. And he whispered to him in the ears, I have given my daughters the greatest wealth, much more than you can ever give me. I have given my daughters so much wealth, much more than you can even ever give me. Now remember, contentment. What is it? And yaqeen upon Allah. This is contentment and yaqeen. He said, I, look at the words, I, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, take an oath that I have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to me, O Abdullah, listen, anyone who reads Suratul Waqi'ah in the night, anybody who reads Suratul Waqi'ah in the night, poverty, faqru faqa, calamity, difficulty will never touch him. Poverty will never touch him if he is in the habit of reading Suratul Waqi'ah. How easy. Always get into the habit of reading Surah Waqi'ah, Surah Mulk and Surah Sajdah. These three surahs. Surah Mulk, this is your safety net for the qabr, grave, without a doubt. Surah Sajda, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever slept without reading Surah Sajda, Sunnah. And Surah Waqi'ah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what he has said. And so I have taught all of my daughters and my children, every day they read Suratul Waqi'ah. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala and was not that rich. But he wanted to give something to his children. And he said to them, Beta, you read this and you will always be rich. In the end, he did not actually accept the hadiyah and the gift from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. And so this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laysa al-ghina an kasrati al-ard. A person who is rich, he is not rich by wealth or by having a lot of things to his name, in his possession. But a rich man is that person who is content with what Allah has given him. If Allah has made him very, very rich, alhamdulillah. If he has got 100 bungalows and a lot of business and he is content and he always says alhamdulillah, then he is a good man. And if a man who has got one house and he says alhamdulillah, whatever Allah has given me, I'm happy, he is also rich. That person is also rich. This is the difference between a person who has iman, how he thinks, and that person who does not have iman. Now what shaitan does, my respected brothers, shaitan gives us the wrong meaning of ghina. What does he do? Bas. Understand this, very important. He opens the wrong meaning of ghina. What he does is that he makes a person feel, I can change things. I can do that. When I am there, this will happen. If I do that, I can influence. This I, what Fir'aun said, ana. This ana, this is dangerous. And ghina, when a shaitan treats you and pushes you to the wrong ghina, what he is trying to make you is that you become completely independent. So this poison you see everywhere. You get married to a lady, and then this lady who is a wife to you, she will say, I'm married to you, but remember, I am independent. Naak uchi. The nose is up. I am independent. What is good for you to be independent? Your husband would have loved you more if you were under him and said that, let me press your legs, you know, Allah. One lady came to me that, Mauli Sahib, you know, my husband does not love me. What should I do? So I said to her, will you do what I tell you? She says, of course, Maulana, I have respect for you. I said, Jazakallah. Chalo, kisi ko to respect hai ani. I said, every night press the legs of your husband. And she was shocked. How am I? He's talking about kyawa, kayamat, zalzala. Look, I said, you told me you are going to listen to me. What did you want? No, I wasn't expecting this. I said, I know you were not expecting this. But you came to me. I said, look, press the legs 40 days, mashallah. You know, when he is tired, calm and press the legs and put olive oil in the hair, if he's got any hair. If he hasn't got hair here, then in the beard, if he's got a beard. Otherwise, olive oil anywhere. But, you see, when you press somebody, when you come into close contact physically like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the connection. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was in atikaf. Imagine that. And the curtain was here, this part was the masjid zone. So Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's body was in the masjid. But one section, he would just put the curtain and lift and see if everything is okay at the house. He was the most beautiful husband, always concerned. And so when Hazrat Aisha or any of the wives would see him, this beautiful face, out of love they would come and embrace him. And they would hug him even if they could just have the upper section of his body. And then they would keep him and they would take oil and they would massage the beard of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. This is Islam. This is Islam. Oh Allahu Akbar. I forgot what I was going to say to you now. Can you just remind me what I was going to say to you? The wrong gira. So a lady who gets married, then she feels that I am not in need of the husband. No. You need your husband. And when the children grow up, shaitan gives them the poison. The poison from the outside world. That, oh, now you are independent, 16, 18. Now you are independent, you don't need the support of your parents. So this is the world we live in, where every time shaitan is making you feel independent. Why? So you have the symptoms of takabbur inside you. When you start feeling independent, that is the time takabbur, the seeds of takabbur are put inside you. So Allah is telling you, never feel that. Always remember, who is al-ghaniyu? Allah. This disease was with one community during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They came to him and they said, Inna Allah faqirun wa nahnu aghniya. They said, Allah is faqir and we are rich. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. The Jewish community, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded what they said in the Quran. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا. What are they? That Allah is faqir and they are rich? Allah is sanaktubu. I am. Everything has been registered, what you are saying. So this disease is there. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse of the Quran, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Nay, insan has crossed all the limits. Arra'ahu staghna, and this is the illness that he has. He deems himself to be free from need. He deems himself to be free from need. He likes to be independent. But in Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to put everybody down in humility. What is it? Humility. You pray your namaz behind an imam. You go in the house, the amir of the house, Shariat says the father, amir of the house. The children have to obey. You see, every way in Islam, everything is codified. It's like as if you are given a natural seat belt. You just can't drive without this seat belt. Islam gives you this natural seat belt. Bas. Don't try to be independent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. Now, just to conclude, you know, you get some people who, have we heard of one word, matlabi? Have we heard of that? Umar Farooq is saying yes. You've heard? Okay, what is the meaning of matlabi, Umar Farooq?
No.
Yes, Farooq bhai, Farooq is saying, use a Jazakallah in one word. But it's too late, Umar Farooq. That Umar Farooq is faster now. So one Umar Farooq gave, but the other one gave a definition, user. And it's true. A lot of the times what happens, when somebody gives you a call after 1 year, and then says, brother, how are you? Yeah, I need this, that. And then in your mind you say, ah, nalaik matlabi. And he sits with the wife and says, you see, this guy is a pure matlabi. All these times, 6 months, 1 year, he didn't think of us, never gave us a phone call. Now all of a sudden, from the blue, he rings us. And then you call him a matlabi. What do you call him? Matlabi. He's a matlabi, a user. Now, understand, my respected brothers, put this matlabi on the shelf. When a Muslim brother is afflicted, when some difficulty comes to him, it is in fact a great honor that in his heart Allah put that he remembered you. You are like that candle light which a person looks for in the darkness. When it's completely dark, he's looking for a candle, just to light a candle. Allah made you a candle for that person. Don't call him a matlabi. Yes, of course, maybe it would have been better if he had changed his lifestyle a bit, and if he would have stayed in that connection, that is even better. But for some reason, even if he didn't, Shariat is telling us, forget this, don't say matlabi. He is in need, and from all the people he looked at your good character, the good qualities that are inside you, that from all of his friends and family he chose you, and he said, no, if there's one person who can help me, is this person. He will help me, sincerity, he will do things fast, he will do this. So he chose you. So he's not a, he may be a matlabi, whatever you can say to him, but you should feel proud. What should you do? Feel proud. Understand that. Now, in this world, my respected brothers, what does a person desire? Let me put a few points that we would all want. Number one, we have the desire of wealth. We have the desire of better health. We have the desire of happiness. We have the desire of having a very good partner, good wife. We have a desire to have good children. We have a desire to have a good car. And we have a desire to have a lovely house that we own, beautiful home that we own. We'll stop there. These are the 7 things generally that a person wants in his life. 7 things. Now if somebody told you that Allah will give all of these 7 things and even everything else that you desire, if you only take one action in your life, Allah will give you everything. Is that a bargain? Big thing. Allah is prepared to give you everything what we have said in just one action that you do. And what is that one action? In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when one Muslim brother fulfills the need of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all of his needs of this dunya and the hereafter. If you fulfill the need of that person who shaitan is making you feel matlabi. Shaitan is making you feel matlabi. Understand? If you make him feel that, Allahu Akbar, then Allah will fulfill all your needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all your needs. If some people come and knock at your door and they say, we are making a madrasa, we are doing some good works for Islam, we want to do good works and we are assisting, don't dodge them. Think that Allah put in that person's heart, and you are like a candle. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using what Allah has given you for your sadqa-e-jariya.
Jariya.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So this taunting is wrong. This taunting is wrong. I remember one day, somebody downstairs, I made salam to him. Oh, Mauli Saab, it's been such a long time. You haven't seen me, we don't meet. I said, yes. Then he said something to me which I felt, it broke my heart. He said to me, you Mauli Saab, you know, when you need something, that is the time you come and see me. And you know, I'm straightforward. I said to him, brother, don't ever say that. Have I ever come to you for my house or my personal gains? Have I? Have I? Have I come to you? Have you put a door for me? And even if you did, that would have been fantastic, but have I? And he looked down. I said, this is the first and the last time you ever say that. I said, whatever good works you do for the house of Allah, it is gone, 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 gone. Why? Because the Quran says, when you give for Allah. What is it? Don't look at Maulana Adam, Maulana Salim, Maulana Muhammad, Maulana this, Maulana that, Maulana that. If in your heart opens and you see good works, then you give what we call tibun nafs, for the pleasure of Allah. What is it? For the pleasure of Allah. And also, my respected brothers, if nothing happens, if that other Muslim brother is with your money, then at the end of the day, Allah is there still to reward you. The blanket general rule is, when you give for the pleasure of Allah, Allah takes it upon Himself to give you. Bas. So my respected brothers, this is the rule. Al-ghina. Who is ghina? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What shaitan makes you feel is that we are independent. Nobody is independent. Nobody. We are all dependent, and we depend entirely upon who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sometimes have to respect our teachers, our parents, our family, all. We need each other. Everybody needs each other. And if we live like that, we will be free from takabbur. And it is this takabbur, kibr, that we have to take out, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that even equivalent to a mustard seed of takabbur in your heart will deny you entry into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilaykal masir. 2 minutes ke liye muraqaba kar le. الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.